Thank you for listening, listening to our Church in Christchurch podcast. For more information, we hope about that you our are church, encouraged and inspired by the message you are about to hear. And if you're ever in Christchurch, why don't you pop in every Sunday? Hello. We'd love to connect.
So, Marsh, I'm going to try and preach real quick for you today. Won't get distracted. Well, Christmas is here, and we're starting a new series called He Will Be Called. He will be called. It's based on the scripture. I want to read it for you today. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words looking forward hundreds of years to the moment when God would reveal himself in human flesh. And this is what he said about that moment in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. I think that's probably an encouragement for everybody today. Government does stand on its own shoulders. Government stands on the authority of God. Hallelujah. That's not what I'm preaching about today. I just kind of couldn't resist the opportunity, right? And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So as we just announced, Sarah and I are expecting number 3 baby, which is really, really cool. Really cool. But when it comes to naming children, names are important. Names are important for lots of reasons. When it comes to naming your kid, there are some rules that they don't tell you about. The first rule is that any names of past boyfriends or girlfriends are immediately off the table. Doesn't matter how beautiful the name is. Not calling your children after someone from the past. You just can't do it. Any rhyming names are immediately off the table too. In our situation, our child will definitely never ever be called Arthur or Martha MacArthur. You just can't do it. Names are important. Also, names of particularly naughty boys or naughty girls that you've known in the past will never ever be chosen. I'm a high school teacher of the past. So I've got a very long list. Because names are important. They give identity and they give belonging. Yes. Yep. I knew James Williamson at school. So James, one of our sons has a middle name, James. So that's good. But must have not been too bad. But names in the Bible are even more important. Names function as something like almost like a blessing that you speak over somebody every time you use your name. It's like a reminder or even like a prophetic word. My sister is called Joy and she's just got a joyful personality. I don't think that's a mistake. Every time you speak joy, joy, joy over somebody, it becomes from scripture kind of like a blessing that gets pronounced every time the name is used. Names are important. That's why Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, because Peter means rock. And the apostle Peter was to lead the early church with the steadfast stability of leadership. Every time you use the name Peter, it's speaking that over somebody's life. This applies to the names we call each other, but this also applies to the names we call Jesus. What we call Jesus as his name has real implications for how we relate to him as a person. Would we call him simply just wise man or good guy, or would we call him Lord? When it comes to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, those names, they're interesting. For unto us a son is given, we're expecting maybe mighty warrior or something along those lines. But instead, the names we're to call to give this person is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I want to share with you today around the prophetic title of Jesus as Wonderful Counselor. We'll deal with the other later in the month, the other names, but today is about Wonderful Counselor. In Hebrew, that phrase Wonderful Counselor is spoken as Pele Yoetz, which means, Pele means beyond understanding. Beyond understanding. So when Isaiah the prophet is trying to come up with a name for Jesus, what he comes up with is not able to be put into words. It's simply just beyond understanding, too wonderful for words. And Yoetz means counselor. means to advise or to guide or to consult. For unto us a son is born, his name will be given. His name will be Pele Yoetz. He will be a wonderful counselor. And as such, he will be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's mighty and he's powerful, but yet he knows you. And he knows everything that you've gone through to get you to here and everything that you're going to go through. He cares for you, and therefore he can be your wonderful counselor. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, yet he did not sin. We have Jesus who can empathize with our weakness. He knows what it's like to have to trust God in confusing and frustrating times. He knows what it's like to have nothing to live on and have to trust God to have his needs met. He knows what it's like to be rejected and abandoned by people in his life. He knows what it's like to be humiliated, judged, and spoken down to. He understands our hurts. He understands our pain. And get this, he is seated at the right hand of God. And so he has authority over everything that would come against you in your life. And yet not only is he almighty and powerful and seated in heaven at the right hand of God, he understands what you're going through. He is our wonderful counselor. Amen. Luke chapter 5 says this about Jesus. Jesus answered them. He says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Jesus said about himself that he had come for the sick. Jesus is the one wonderful counselor who has come for the sick. So let me ask you something of an invasive question this morning. It's rhetorical. You can keep the answer in your mind. I don't need to know it, but where are you sick? Where are you hurt? Everybody is sick somewhere. I love building things as a way of illustrating sickness. I love building things, and I was sanding my table one day. It was a particularly soft wood, and my thumbnail caught, as I was moving my hand down, it caught a splinter. And I didn't realize what had happened, except the thing hurt to high heavens. And all I had was a tiny little dot of wood that I could see underneath my fingernail. But I knew something was wrong because it hurt badly. And so I went out and showed Sarah, I think I've got this splinter under my fingernail. And I was starting to panic. But then this thought crossed my mind, I can't see anything wrong. Maybe there's nothing wrong. Maybe I don't actually have to go to the hospital. Maybe I can just, I've got 9 other fingers that are perfectly fine. And so she got out her doctor tweezers. I'm not sure if they were better or just the same as regular tweezers, but she gets these things out. She grabs the tiny little bit of wood. And as she's pulling out, I realize the extent of the problem. You see, a 1 centimeter long splinter had embedded itself deep within my thumb. Praise God, it came out in 1. Yes. You see, I was sick. You couldn't tell on the surface of my thumb that there was a problem. But I sensed that there was a problem because something hurt deeply. I was sick. If I just let it go and not addressed it, I would have just gotten infected and much, much worse. So we've got a Jesus who's called our wonderful counselor. And counselors can identify with the plight of somebody who is sick, but they don't just identify. They're not just a sounding board. They also offer help and healing for the areas that we would choose to uncover to them to draw out the pain in our lives. It wouldn't be enough for my wife in that moment simply to say, oh, Pete, that looks really sore. Oh, that must be tough. Or tell me a bit more about how much your thumb hurts. It's like, no, I don't need someone just to identify with me, although that is helpful. I need someone who's going to grab the tweezers and pull that thing out of my hand. We have a wonderful counselor. So I want to ask you again, where are you hurt? Jesus came for the sick. So where are you sick? Maybe at Christmas, financial stress is a factor for you. There's food and there's presents to buy. Secret Santas and the regular bills and other expectations that other people have of your life just keep mounting up, and it's just infected your heart with this anxiety, financial anxiety, that's just left you feeling sick. Where are you sick? Maybe it's the busyness of events that just are coming out your ears that you feel like you have to attend. And on top of all of that, we've got major changes in how our society functions coming in just a few days. And the anxiety is just getting too much. So let me ask you, where are you sick? Maybe family issues for you pop up once a year at Christmas. Other people putting pressure on you. Other people putting their own expectations on you for Christmas. Maybe someone in your extended family has hurt you in the past, and now you're faced with the awkwardness of having to do family time with them, but to be honest, you're still feeling angry and hurt, and it's left you feeling that life is all out of balance. It's a sickness. But praise God, we don't just have a counselor who identifies with our struggle, but one who said it is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I have come for the sick. There is a wonderful counselor. His name is Jesus, and he came for the sick. Names are important. What we call Jesus determines how we relate to him, how we see him. So I want to share just three practical things that can help us relate to Jesus as a wonderful counselor. The first one is this, is to be brutally honest with the counselor. If you've ever gone to see somebody or to talk to someone, whether they're a doctor or a counselor or someone like that, you understand the problem. On one hand, it's hard to tell somebody your problems. On the other hand, you've actually paid them money to tell them your problems. And so you're kind of stuck in this thing, I don't really want to, but now that I'm here, I kind of don't want to waste the session. And so, you know, you feel like you've got to. And so you understand that you're wise to be honest with your counselor. In the same way, God sees how you're feeling. He knows all that you've gone through and all that you've done. But to find healing in life, often we just need to tell God brutally and in brutal honesty really what's going on. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That word cast means cast and then keep casting. It doesn't mean, well, I did it once 5 years ago and so now I'm sorted. It's like in every moment of your day, in every moment of your life, when that trauma pops up for you again, when that stress pops up for you again, you just cast it on the Lord because he cares for you. So for me, casting my cares on God, I make it a spiritual discipline to talk to God as if I'm talking to one of my mates. And I use the same language because for me it feels real. I try not to pray as if I'm talking to a high school principal. I try and pray like I'm just talking to one of my mates, at least in my head. I might say something like, God, I'll be honest, I'm feeling really angry about what that person said or did. And I know I'm probably being selfish here and short-sighted, but this feeling is real for me right now. It's real talk, real prayers, but what it brings out is a brutal honesty in relationship with God. And just a word for the wise, you might find it useful if you are going to pray like that just to go somewhere where the neighbors can't hear you. You don't need that on top of everything else. Brutal honesty. Yeah, if you trust your neighbors. Second thing I want to encourage you with today is to listen to the counselor's voice. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You don't go to a counselor just to have somebody to talk to. If it was about that, you can save some money and stay home and talk to your dog. They won't tell anybody either. They'll probably even look more pleased when you give them a treat afterwards. You don't just go to have somebody to talk to. You have somebody who can, from an outside perspective, give you help in that area and actually speak into your life. In the same way, the voice of Jesus is in our lives is not just a sounding board of someone who can identify with our struggle, but someone who can actually speak into our lives. Jesus is a speaking God. He's a talking God. I just want to just say right now, this is, for me, one of the key moments when I came to faith. I'm a logical guy, and so this was my logical progression of thoughts when it came to whether or not I should be a Christian or not. And so, I don't know if you can relate to this, it's probably just weird in me. But I said to myself, okay, Pete, do you believe there's a God? Any kind of God. Just, do you believe there's a God? And I thought, actually, you know what, I've experienced enough about life to know that yes, there is a God. And I didn't make any claim to that other than just the fact, yes, I do believe that somewhere in the universe there is a heavenly being and that person is God. And so the next question that I ask is, okay, if a God exists, what's he like? That's really a key question. I mean, most people in the world believe in a God. Hardly anybody asks, well, actually, what is this God like? What is he like? Is he far off and distant? Or is he close by and knows who I am? What is he like? That's really one of the major questions that just rocked my little world. What is God like? And I came to the conclusion that actually, you know, he's a talking God. He's communicative. God speaks. And from that, I came to the realization that if there is a God, and one too, if he's speaking, then really what he has to say is infinitely more important than anything else I could touch, feel, or experience on this God's green earth, right? And it doesn't matter at this point what you believe in terms of any other statement of your beliefs. If you've come to the point where you say, yes, I know there's a God, and yes, I do think he's actually a talking God, he wants to get through to me, then the final question, and this is what threw me into the Christian faith like nothing else, is that if God is speaking, what he has to say is the most important thing that I could ever discover. And from that point, I met Jesus. And all other questions, just the gate was open. Evolution, creation doesn't really matter anymore because there is a talking God who's trying to get through to me. All the morality, those are all secondary questions because there's a talking God who's wanting to lead and guide me. All the questions of the Holy Spirit and all of that those are secondary questions because there is a talking God who wants to know me, who wants to put his presence within me, who wants to lead and guide me. All of that hinges on the fact that God is a talking God and wants to get through to you. So maybe you're new to faith or maybe you haven't experienced God in your life before. I want to tell you, God is talking God. What he has to say to you is very, very important. So can I ask you, what is God saying to you right now? Whether you've walked in the Lord to 10 minutes or 100 years, where are you feeling led towards? Jesus is the wonderful counselor, and we need to listen to his voice. Might be to commit to a term of small groups. Might be to admit a weakness to yourself in a particular area and ask God to heal there. God might be speaking to you about a season of daily prayer, of interceding for someone in your family. Counselors don't just empathize and listen, they also speak into your life. Praise God, we have a wonderful counselor who does not hold back when it comes to speaking into our lives. He's speaking, but what is he saying? As we close this morning, I want to encourage you with this final thought. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, and as a counselor, we're to do what the counselor tells you to do. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus has this conversation with a dedicated young man. This guy runs up to Jesus and he has lived an exemplary life. He's followed every legal, every religious law. And he comes up and he says to Jesus, what can I do to get into the kingdom of God? And he's pretty pleased with himself. He feels like there's some good news coming. And so Jesus, this is what Jesus says to this guy. He says, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. One thing you lack, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus highlighted that to this man, for to him to truly place his trust in God, he needed to remove the temptation from his life to trust and place his value in wealth and in society. For this guy, it was a choice between God and money. So Jesus goes to him and he says, sell your house, sell your dog, sell your clothes, sell your jewelry, sell your pajamas, sell your pot plants, sell your pots and your pans and your heat pump, and you just sell the whole lot. And then once you've sold the whole lot, in fact, all of those things, and then some more, sell your lawnmower, sell me your lawnmower for a good bargain, and chainsaw, yeah, Hammond, that's a word for you, sell your chainsaw, chainsaws. And the man's face fell, and he went away sad. Sad because he wanted to have both wealth and serve God. But if he could only choose one, if he was forced to choose, then he would choose wealth and position. And although he was sad to leave Jesus, he wasn't sad enough to leave everything behind. You know, there are things in life that we have to choose between, and we have a wonderful counselor who often comes to us and presents that choice with grace and with firmness. You can't have total independence in life as well as love. You have to choose one. You can't serve God and serve yourself. You can't keep an offense as well as receive healing in that area. You can't. You've got to choose one. And you've got a counselor who comes alongside you and says, you know, Pete, I can understand why you're in this position, but you've got to choose one. You've got to choose one. You can't keep an addiction going as well as live all that God has for you. You've got to choose one. And so the counselor comes along and says, I want you to take a step of faith in this area. And if we're going to relate to Jesus as the wonderful counselor he is, we have got to do what he tells us to do. As we close this morning, I was in a session with my earthly counselor, not Jesus, someone else. A nice guy, though. He said something along these lines. Pete, it sounds like there's a part of your life that doesn't 100% believe your identity in Christ. You've told me that you're saved by faith, that you're created in the image of God, you're filled with his spirit, but there's still just a small part of you that maybe has something to prove. So this is what the counselor told me to do. Go for a walk most mornings, and on your walk, declare by preaching over your life, because you're a preacher, that's how you relate. So you preach over your own life the truth about your identity with God. And so the next day I did that. I did that because I believe that, one, it's disrespectful to ask for somebody's advice and pay them for it and then ignore it. But also, if we're going to relate to counselors in this way, we have to do what they say to do. And from day one, it felt silly. I was worried that the neighbors would be listening as I walked around Englefield Park declaring the truth of my own life out loud in a preaching voice. But I felt things shift that day. I felt things heal and the need to build and prove something diminish. I'm not telling you that to encourage you to do that. And if you are going to do that, definitely don't pick 20 past 6 in the morning, because we'll bump into each other. But there's lots of places you can do it, just not Englefield Park, please. Thank you very much. But I want to tell you that to say that it is not enough just to have a counseling session. We have got to have the wonderful counselor speak something to us, ask us to step out in faith in the area, in an area, and then actually step out and do it. There is healing in being brutally honest with Jesus and hearing his voice and by putting it into action.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Church Christchurch podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit www.elamchristchurch.org or connect at one of our services every Sunday at 10 a.m.